Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, and good evening, everyone. To God be the glory. We give God praise on this evening. We came to honor God and worship God and tell the Lord thank you for even getting us to this 7:30 hour. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He woke us up this morning. He got us through our day, and now we're at Word Wednesday, ready to understand and study the Word of God to show ourselves approved. We thank God for Bible study. Thank God for Word Wednesday. Hallelujah. We're going to pray, and we are going to get into the topic on tonight in the name of Jesus. Let's go before the Lord so that he can bless our time together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We are two or more gathered in your midst. You said you'd be in the midst of us, and right now we thank you for your presence being on this phone line. God, right now, use me, your man servant. I humble myself, and I thank you for raising and rising up in me to do what you called me to do in this time that we have together. Now, God, may we edify our minds, may we educate our minds, may we be empowered tonight, may we be encouraged tonight, may we be exhorted and edified tonight in the name of Jesus. And God, we just want your will to be done in our lives. So we give this time to you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Tonight, we are talking from this topic, developing, I got to use that word, developing unshakable faith in God. Developing unshakable faith in God. My original title was, I made it out, or I made it, I'm out, I'm still standing. And God said, no, you're going to shift that and put the power back on me, put the ownership and put the responsibility back on me, because I'm the one that's able. And I thank God so many times in the Bible. You can think about Daniel in the lion's den. You can think about the three Hebrew boys in a fiery furnace. You can think about so many examples, Paul and Silas in prison, where it did not look good. Amen. But they had unshakable faith in God, not in themselves. And we can read it today because we have our Bibles, but there are times in our lives where we look in the natural, we're looking at what we see, we're looking at what we feel, we look at what we're facing, and sometimes it's hard. I wish it was easy. And we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit tonight, because those characteristics over there are not natural characteristics for us humans. The fruit of the Spirit, we're going to look at that list, because God wants us to have that godly characteristic in our lives, but there's a way he wants to do it in our lives. And all of us are different. All of us come from different walks. All of us have different situations. But I want to start here tonight, and then we're going to look at Galatians, and then we're going to look at the life of Paul, who God told him, you will get before Caesar. But it was not easy. And we're going to see that as we go to our destinations, as we have dreams, as we have goals, as we have aspirations, the enemy is going to try to oppose that. The enemy is going to try to stop that. He'll use people. He'll use circumstances. He'll even use our own experiences to try to stop us. But once we develop this unshakable faith in God, even if our faith wavers every now and again, we get back in faith. Amen, somebody. So we're going to see. I'm going to pick up where I started last night. We looked at Abraham and Isaac, and we saw the outcome where God provided, where the ram was in a bush, where Abraham looked up, and we talked about looking to God in prayer. But let's see what happened before the piece that we read last night, just Genesis chapter number 22, looking at two verses. Because the Bible says if we decree and declare a thing, it shall be established. Our words that come out of our mouth are so important. Sometimes it's not what we feel, it's not what we think. We can say it in fear, but we still got to try to say what God says in his word. And let's look at Genesis 22, verse 7 and verse number 8. Genesis chapter 22, verse 7 and verse number 8, because we are talking about unshakable faith in God. And Abraham at this stage had that unshakable faith in God. In verse 7 it says, "And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, son. And he said, Behold, here's the fire and here's the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Verse 8, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." Abraham, before he actually received it or did it in the natural, because the Bible says he had the knife up. He was ready to bring the knife down to sacrifice his son. So up until the very point, Abraham was being obedient to God because he had that unshakable faith. And why did he have that? He had that, I believe. Like I said, I can't get into that moment. I believe it's because God blessed him and Sarah, not just when it was impossible, but it was way beyond impossible. When he gave them the vision, Sarah was 60, Abraham was 75, and he said, "You two are going to have a baby together out of your own womb, Sarah." And it took 25 years later, they had this miracle baby, Isaac. And they went through a lot before that miracle happened. And there are times in our life where God will give us experiences and encounters with him to increase our faith. Glory be to God. And you know, I didn't want to battle cancer for 2 years, but it happened. But I can tell you, honestly speaking, I rode home today and Donald Lawrence was on the radio, and I got to tell you, I began to weep. Because that was the song that came on when they told me I was going to be discharged from the hospital. I finally used the bathroom. It took weeks for me to use the bathroom, weeks for me to walk around. I was really, really down. And when they told me, "You're going to be discharged, you're going home," I had the headphones on, and Donald Lawrence said, "You're healed. Circumstances, but you're healed. Situations, but you're healed." And that song put me into tears in that room. And as I was driving home today, come on, somebody, God reminded me, "Do you remember a few years ago where you were?" Come on, people of God. And this is why so many, and my wife helps me with this sometimes, so many times we're looking for the next. We're looking for the next move of God. We're looking for the next blessing. We're looking for the next miracle. We're looking for the next breakthrough. And some of us are grateful for the now. Some of us are so grateful for the now. Yes, he's going to do the next. But when we get too far ahead of God, we miss it. We miss it. I thought about my good friend still not being here, and I'm here. We miss what God is doing. And God is saying to some of us, maybe you're not on this line, maybe you're listening to the archives, but if it's you and you're developing this unshakable faith in God, God has a way of getting messages and lessons to us that don't make sense. We don't see it in the beginning, but as we come out of it, we're like, "Okay, God, I did pray for patience. Okay, God, I did pray to be more caring and kind to people. Okay, God, I get it now. I have a problem with my temper and attitude. Now I see after that experience what you were doing." But sometimes when we're in the middle of it, we're like, "God, why did I have to fail? God, why did you delay that blessing? God, why didn't you give me what I wanted when I wanted it?" Come on, people of God. Sometimes when we don't get what we want, or if God delay it for whatever reason, or we got to do it again, or we got to try again. Sometimes when we don't get it when we want it, we get disappointed in God, we get disappointed in ourselves, and God is always up to something. Pastor Rebecca said he's working behind the scenes. God is always working behind the scenes, and sometimes when we can't figure it out, hallelujah, he already worked it out. And when we develop unshakable faith in God, things begin to happen. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, and then we're going to look at the life of the Apostle Paul, who was really in an impossible situation. But God got him out of that predicament. And God is going to get you out of something that you may be in that you see no way out of. Amen. Sometimes we get in these predicaments, we get in these situations where man can't help us, our knowledge and our education can't help us, no amount of money can help us, and now God is saying, now you're ready for a miracle. Now you're ready for me to bless you and show you who I am in your life. And sometimes when I look at New Creation Church, and, you know, I'm doing this lesson from my home right here, the church started from this house. And we've been in two cities already as a ministry. Come on, somebody. And that's nothing but the grace of God. That's nothing from the grace of God. Starting in our home, going to Elizabeth, then going to Hillside where we currently are. Nothing but the grace of God. His hand has been on this church. And I don't want to miss that, and I don't want to take that for granted ever. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. Let's read this. We know this list by now. We quote it a lot. We speak it a lot. But God said, no, you need to go and look at it again tonight. And that's what I'm doing. It sort of don't fit into the lesson tonight, but it does fit into the lesson tonight. Amen? Because we're going to elaborate on some of these things. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. And Paul is writing to the church of Galatia. And this church had all these things going on. And even as I look at this list, there are some people that may not have love like they should have love in their life. Maybe they don't have the love coming to them, or they're not giving the love out that they need to give. Because some of us, whether we grew up in a home that the word love wasn't shared, or the affection, or the spirit, or the act of love wasn't shared in that home, sometimes many of us have trouble in that area of loving. And that's why the Bible says God first loved us. The Bible says God is love. And we are like God. We're made in the image of God. Now we have the capacity. Now we have the tools and the know-how and the skills to love people. That's why when the Bible tells me, husband, love your wife, I know that's possible. Because she needs love, husband. If you're a married man and you're a husband, the Bible says, love your wife. And the Bible says, wives, submit or reverence or honor that husband. Because that man needs respect, that woman needs love. And sometimes our children need love, our families need love, and this is a fruit of the Spirit. How about joy? There are some people, maybe they're in the season of being depressed or sad, their hearts are heavy, they're bitter, they're angry, and there's a maybe not zero joy, but there's little joy in their life in this season of their life. And God wants to put that in that person's life. He wants to give us joy. Hallelujah. Yeah. And peace.
Sometimes we don't have peace. We're nervous about something. We're afraid about something. We're approaching it, and we don't have no peace about it. And God says, no, I want to give you peace. And long-suffering, I want to talk about that one tonight, long-suffering. Because we're going to look at the Apostle Paul, who God said, let's go there now, long-suffering. I want to go here before I go to Acts chapter 27. But that word long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. And let's go to Acts chapter number 9. Lord Jesus. Woo-hoo. Acts chapter number 9. I feel God. Amen. Developing unshakable faith in our God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, have faith in God in Mark chapter number 11, verse number 22. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Perfect. Hallelujah. It's perfect. Acts chapter 9, verse number 4. When I'm talking about long suffering, we don't want to suffer. I know I don't want to suffer. The Bible says those in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It didn't say might. It said will. And sometimes when we go through hardship, we go through a hard situation, we go through dilemmas and problems and circumstances that we don't want to be in, maybe God is working out something in us. The Bible says work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. And sometimes the process, the pruning, the purging, the pain, sometimes there's an expected end that God has in mind. And we don't see it because the Bible says no chastisement or no chastening is good for the moment, but has a far more exceeding value in the end. And we're going to see through the life of the Apostle Paul here that he's going to have to suffer because he was doing some things, some ungodly things against the kingdom and against God. And then he developed unshakable faith in God. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 9, verse number 4. I pray you are there. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? My God, that's putting faith in God. That's the question. His name is not even Paul yet. He's Saul in this moment. He says, God, Lord, what will you have me to do? That was the right response. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. You're going to get further instruction on what you're going to do. Look at verse number, thank you, Jesus. Verse number 12. Verse number 13. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on the name. But the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel, my God, unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He gonna talk to the Gentile. Paul is gonna speak to kings. And Paul is going to speak to Israel, the Jews. Are y'all hearing God tonight? There's a purpose in, okay, I'm going to read and then I'm going to elaborate on some of what I just read. For I will show him, I'll talk about long suffering, I wanted to get to this point. So I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way on the road to Damascus, as thou came, has sent me, that you mightest receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You are a chosen vessel. You got to know that deep down in your spirit. My wife and I are in purpose. When we were in those clubs, we was in the party scene. We was on the fraternities. We were doing what we wanted to do. We were not in purpose. But when we got to church, when we understood there was something greater that God expected of us, we began to try to line up with the will of God. And now we're walking in purpose. Now we, glory be to God, are trusting God as his under-shepherds to keep leading and guiding us. Come on, somebody. He said, unless I build a house, they that labor, labor in vain. That's talking about new creation church. That's God's church. And we give it to God. We're just stewards. And we thank God for every member, every giver, every tither, every worker in the ministry, everyone that's been faithful, everyone who's coming. Glory be to God. God is saying to you and me, we are all chosen vessels to be used. And we may speak to kings. We may speak to more Gentiles. We may speak to Jews. Who knows who we're going to have the opportunity to witness to? Glory be to God. But Paul first had to have unshakable faith in God. You're not going before a king. You're not going before Caesar. You're not going before Jews without total faith in God. You're just not going to do it. And sometimes God knows the fears that we have, the anxiety that we have. One time my wife, and I think she shared it last time she taught, she was ready to eulogize Mother Maggie at a funeral, and some commotion, some confusion came with the monies at the funeral home, and they was going to cancel the whole entire service. And my wife said, I don't know how, but we're going to have a service today and have Mother Maggie have a beautiful homegoing service. And she said, she told me later, she said it, but sometimes we say stuff that we don't really believe it. Like sometimes we had a conviction we believe in other things, but her words had power. Glory be to God. I said her words, whether you say it in fear, whether you say it sometimes in doubt, whether you say it with the spirit of unbelief all on it, speak it anyway. Glory be to God. That's why I always say our church is growing and it will continue to grow. Come on, people of God. If your marriage is in trouble, my wife used to say, my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband. And those first years where it was not like it is today. We had a blended family. We were trying to blend. We were trying to blend two families together, and it was not easy. But she used to, even when we argued and we fussed and we fought, we never crossed the lines. We had certain boundaries. We had certain limits. We would go. But she would say, my wonderful husband, making that declaration over my life. And now today, ta-da! Glory be to God. I know I still have some issues, but for the most part, I love her and she loves me. And we thank God for the marriage we do have today. Hallelujah. But having and developing unshakable faith in God is not going to be easy. Sometimes my emotions get in the way. If you're a caring and loving person, God, why is this happening to me? Oh, when I was diagnosed with cancer, trust me, those are the questions that first came to my mind. Why me? When he said malignant, we went back for the follow-up to the biopsy. And I was crushed when we got the results. And sometimes we go through things. God, why am I still in pain? God, why do I still have this sickness in my body? God, why am I still single? I don't know what it is you need from God, but God is saying, have faith in me. And we got to put our faith in God, because this world will let you down. This world will treat you coldly. This world will do things to you and try to have you walk away from your God. But, oh, what can separate us from the love of God? Let's look at this, because I need to get to this tonight. This is scripture I wanted to start with, and we now went around a few things before we got here, but now we are getting here. Acts chapter number 27, because there's some wonderful things here that we can see with the Apostle Paul. He's going to need that unshakable faith in God here in chapter 27 and in chapter 28. We're gonna look at both occurrences. But he's a prisoner. He's on this ship. He's in bonds. He's in chains. He has guards and soldiers. Get ready to take him to Rome to see Caesar. And here, we'll pick it up at verse number 20. Acts 27, verse 20. Paul is a prisoner. He's going to Rome to stand before Caesar because he was a Roman citizen, and King Agrippa and Festus could not declare his case, so they sent him to Caesar when they wanted to let him go. But that was his main goal anyway, to get to Caesar before he died. And let's look at verse number 20, Acts 27, because you too will get to your destination in God. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest or storm lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed for Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Glory be to God. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." The ship is going to be lost. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must," glory be to God, I feel the Holy Ghost, "you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Please, if you hear nothing else tonight, that got to always come out of your mouth. I believe God as it was told me. I believe God for my family. I'm believing God for that degree. I'm believing God for the church to be really established. I'm believing God for increase. Whatever it is, I'm believing God for total healing. I'm believing God for a breakthrough and a miracle. Whatever it is you're believing God for, if God prophesied it to you, if God gave you revelation on it, if God spoke to you directly, if God spoke to you through his word, if God spoke to you through an experience, your declaration has to be, "I believe God." That's developing unshakable faith in God. Because verse 20 said, the sky was totally dark. The storm was tossing the boat on the ocean all over the place. They said this was happening for a long period of time. And then he said all hope that we would be saved was taken away. That's a hopeless situation. And God is saying to some of us tonight, we're facing something and it really looks impossible. But let me encourage you, hang in there. Stay in there. Don't quit. Don't give up. Man, I want to go. Hopefully we'll get to number 13, where they wanted to, number 13, number 14, where the people of God just wanted to give up and go back. And God is saying that there's so many examples in the Word of God. And I listen when people give their testimony, whether it's the mega church, the small church, the church that's been around for 50 years, the church that's been around for 1 year. How when they talk about when they wanted to quit, they wanted to give up, there was betrayal, there was hurt, there was disappointment, there was discouragement, there was all kinds of drama, all kinds of distractions. And when I hear people's testimonies of how they hung in there, when I hear people's stories of how they finally got what God has showed them, that encourages me. Glory be to God. The Bible says in Psalm number 27, I had fainted, except that I had seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This is why, you know, I was telling a couple of young men in our church on Sunday, growing up in the neighborhood that I grew up in, I didn't see a good marriage. I just didn't. My friends, you know, their dads were, for the most part, alcoholics or not there, like my father wasn't there. And all of us young men growing up together, we didn't see, I can't think of one wholesome, what I would call a wholesome marital relationship. And then when I got to church, I saw my bishop and his wife and his children, and I said, wow, they look like a happy family up there. And I began to desire that. I began to want that. And we got to understand that when you see a marriage working, when you see a business thriving, when you see a ministry growing, when you see a church doing good, that should encourage you. Not get you in envy, not get you jealous, not get you hating, but these things should encourage us that God, if he did it for them, you can do it for me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. And if God did it for them, he can do it for you. Look at Acts chapter number 28. Let's go to verse number 28. I'm sorry, we're still in verse number 27. I don't want to move past this. Look at verse number 41 and verse number 20, in verse chapter 27, verse number 41. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. In other words, the ship broke apart. Y'all remember the movie The Titanic? That big old ocean liner, that ship snapped in half? That's kind of what's going on here. The ship was not in any more condition to sail on the water. It broke apart. Verse number 42. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill all of the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, look at there, Paul got favor, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land. And then the rest of them, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safely to the land. I don't care how you get there, just get there. Isn't that a song? I don't care how you get there, just get there. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Delay does not mean that God has denied you. Glory be to God. When there's a detour, sometimes there's a detour for a reason. Come on, people of God. Hallelujah. When that GPS says rerouting, you're still going to get to your destination, but it may add a little more time to your travel time. Glory be to God. And God is saying, I'm the God of the time. I'm the God of Kairos. If I delay it, it's for a reason. I'm doing things simultaneously. I'm working behind the scenes. Come on, Pastor. I'm working behind the scenes, and a lot of moving parts are moving all over the place. I got everything under control because I'm the sovereign God. I'm omnipotent. I'm omniscient. And I'm omni-knowing. Glory, I'm omniscient, I'm omnipotent, and I can't even think of the third one. But whatever it is, glory be to God. God is everything we need. And God is saying, omnipresent. That's it, Pastor. That's why he's here right now, because my wife is helping me with this lesson. Omnipresent means God is everywhere at the same time. He's omnipotent, meaning he's all-powerful. And he's omniscient, meaning God knows everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, darling. And God is saying, I remember taking swimming in Central High School. We had a swimming pool. And they told me I was in the top 5 of my graduating class. And I could not swim. And they said, if you don't pass this swimming class, you won't be graduating. And you will not, hallelujah, go on to college like you want to go on. And I could not swim. And they would give me, I was 6'3". 6'3". We had a 3 feet to 12 feet swimming pool. And I had to learn how to swim before the marking period was over. And I had this little raft thing they gave me, this little foam thing. And I would hold that thing in my hands and paddle my feet and go from side to side. Glory be to God. And they would laugh at me and pick at me and say, Tone, aunt, you can't swim? You got to be kidding me. And I would learn how to swim by kicking my feet and holding that thing. It said some of them got there on broken pieces, and some of them got there on the glory be to God, the boards of the ship. And I tell you, I did pass that class. I could swim from one end to the other at the end of that class. But I started holding that raft. Glory be to God. We got to have training wheels sometimes. Sometimes we got to crawl before we can walk. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. I'll never forget my daughter had a high chair. What you call it, Pastor? A stroller? What you call it? A walker. A walker. Kayla had the walker, and we always had carpeting. And I believe that carpeting helped her walk even better and faster, because when you have a regular floor, you can fly. But on a carpet, you got to push your legs a little stronger, and it give you muscles in your legs. Glory be to God. And sometimes when that baby's in that walker learning how to walk, when we're learning how to drive a car for the first time, when we're learning how to drive a bike for the first time, glory be to God, I never had training wheels. That's how I broke my front tooth as a teenager. I fell off this bike, and I hit the ground, and I broke the tooth in my mouth. Glory be to God. Trying not to learn how to ride with training wheels. And some of us, in the name of Jesus, God is saying, take your time. Don't get there too fast. I need to process you. I need to train you. I need to teach you. And I thank God. I thank God. He does not give us things that we're not ready for. Wow. I need to say that again because that's helping me. God will never put on you more than what you can handle. You got to be faithful where you are. And this is why God, he blesses us. When he blesses you with a blessing, it's always to be a blessing to somebody else. And sometimes God, by nature, that's why I went to Galatians chapter 5, looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Because by nature, we pray what they call selfish prayers. Yes, we got mature, and that's why Carmen used that example of her friend. She said, this lady always prayed for other people. And that stands out like a sore thumb or a needle in a haystack, because most people are not that way. If we were to be honest with ourselves, yes, we pray for other people, but for the most part, our prayers are concerning us. And God is saying, that's not an indictment against us. Because God said, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. The Bible says, come boldly to the altar in your time of need to obtain mercy. So we're doing the right thing. Bring your supplications and your petitions to God. You're doing the right thing when you go to God in prayer. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But God, when he blesses us, is always to be a blessing to somebody else. That's your children, that's your neighbor, that's your neighborhood, that's your classmate, that's your spouse, that's your parent, that's your children. You always are equipped and you're blessed to become a blessing. Amen. So I thank God. I thank God for the opportunities that we have when we give a blessing to somebody else. And I was blessed that Sister Carmen shared that on the prayer line last night, how that woman's finger got totally healed because she prayed for firemen when her own fingers were on fire. Glory be to God. Acts chapter 28, verse number 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that they were on the island that was called Melita. And the barbarians, the people, showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one of us, because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now they escaped the ocean. They survived the ship. Nobody drowned. Now they're on an island with no shelter. It was cold and it was raining. And the people on the island made a fire for them to keep themselves warm. And they showed them kindness instead of killing them. I tell you, favor was with Paul this whole journey. The sea and the ocean couldn't get him. The soldiers that wanted to kill him could not get him. Look at verse number 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came out a viper or a scorpion out of the heat. And it fastened on his hand. It bit the hand of Paul. And it put poison in him. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer, which was true, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not him to live. Verse 5, and he shook it off. Glory. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Verse 6, and we'll stop right here. How be it? They looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, they kept looking, and they saw no harm come to him. They kept looking. They changed their minds. Come on, somebody. And said that he was a god, little g. There's some people that are looking at your life and they wonder how you're still standing. They wonder how you're still going to church, why you're still praying, why you're still believing. They're wondering, glory be to God, why you're not crying. They're wondering why you're still praising. Hallelujah. And God is saying that sometimes we got to shake off the cares of this world. We got to shake off the weight of the problem that's problem in us. We got to shake off the trouble that's troubling us. Sometimes we got to shake off the negative thoughts that come into our minds, that we're going to fail, that we're going to lose, that we're going to be defeated. We got to shake those thoughts off We got to get them out of our head. Glory be to God. We got to shake those thoughts and shake ourselves loose from those negative thoughts that come from the devil. I said the devil is a liar. He's the one lying to you that you won't win. He's the one lying to you that you won't be healed. The devil is the one lying to you that you won't get out of that thing that you're in that you want to be out of. The devil is a liar. And the truth is not in him at all.
Yeah.
We got to shake it off, people of God. Shake off the weight and the sin that so easily besets you. Shake off the past, the memories that try to haunt you. You made a mistake. Yeah, you made a big, major mistake. Yes, yes, the shame and the guilt and the embarrassment tries to still haunt you, but you got to shake it off. Shake yourself loose. Shake yourself free. Even a spirit of unforgiveness. Like God, help me to forgive. You got to shake it off. What they did to you, what they said about you, shake it off. Let it go. Let go and let God. Hallelujah. God wants us free and free indeed. And when you and I develop this unshakable faith in God, things begin to happen. God begins to move in our lives. Hallelujah. Let's look at this one of Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. As a matter of fact, let's go to, Exodus 14. Let's go there first. Exodus chapter number 14. Excuse me. Exodus chapter number 14. Yes, thank you. And a napkin. Yes, thank you. Hallelujah. Yes. Exodus chapter number 14. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Cole. Verse number 11. Thank you. Exodus chapter number 14, verse number 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in this wilderness? Every time I see that, I think about my wife's book, Don't Die in the Wilderness. Every time I read this particular text, because I believe this, that's where she got the idea from, that book, from this particular event in the Bible, Don't Die in the Wilderness. This and the numbers that we're going to look at as we go forward. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? They wanted to remain slaves. Who in their right mind wants to remain a slave? But now they have this conversation with Moses. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch forth your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go over on dry ground through the midst of the sea. My God. Lord Jesus. Sometimes when it gets hard, the temptation to go back, look back, want back may be there. But God brought us out to bring us in. Glory be to God. Whatever God brought you out of, he said, I already determined the end at the beginning. We get a little impatient, or we get a little out of faith because it hasn't happened yet, or it hasn't happened on our time schedule when we wanted it to happen. But trust me and believe that all things work together for the good. It all works for you and me for our good. If God has not given it to you yet, it's for a reason. And I tell you, I'm not going back. Glory be to God. I thank God that as I've been serving God for the last 25 years of my life, I've been a Christian. I'm now 55. I became a believer at age 30. It has not always been easy. There were moments, glory be to God, when I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up. I wanted to say enough. I wanted to lash out. I wanted to talk and do and exercise how I really felt. But God says, hold your peace. Just like he told them right here, stand still, hold your peace, see the salvation of the Lord, and the Lord shall fight for you. This battle is not yours. It belongs to God. I'm going to read this verse right here, and we're going to go on to another scripture. Verse number 17. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon the horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from them before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Gave them time to get over. I tell you, God is just giving you time to get there. Glory be to God. God has already interfered with the thing that's trying to stop you. God has already stopped what's trying to stop you. God has already blocked what's trying to block you. Come on, people of God. It said that the angel, as they went over on dry ground, came and stood before Pharaoh that could have caught up with them and the people of God. And then the darkness and the clouds, I need to get to this part. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Here we go. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse number 28. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Moses said, this enemy you will see no more. They tried to follow the people of God through the Red Sea, and they drowned in the Red Sea. All of the chariots, all of the horsemen, all of the warriors that tried to mess with the people of God perished on that day. And God is saying there's some enemies you won't see no more. There's some, I don't even like to use that word hate anymore. I hear it so much and I'm like, okay. Because what God has for you is for you. And nobody can stop it. I like what Steve Harvey said. T.D. Jakes said to him, not T.D. Jakes, Elijah Muhammad. Not Elijah Muhammad, Farrakhan, Louis Farrakhan said to him, when the moon The dog barks at the moon, but when the moon barks back at the dog gets all the attention. In other words, he was trying to say, don't allow people to distract you, or haters or naysayers or rumors or gossips or liars. When you give them the attention, you go back and forth, or you go back on Facebook, you go back on social media, you try to defend yourself, you try to come back at them. And Steve Harvey, and they're simply saying, no, move on. They're a distraction. Just move on. Keep it moving. Don't let them delay you. Don't let them distract you. Keep it moving. And sometimes we got to do that. My final scripture delight tonight, Numbers 13. Developing unshakable. Because the enemy, just like Paul shook off that scorpion, that snake, that viper, the enemy's trying to shake us. And he's trying to shake your faith. Your faith in God, he's trying to shake you because maybe you felt that some things, maybe you missed some things, maybe there's some mistakes you have made, maybe it's some kind of sin you're caught up in, maybe it's a bad habit or bad behavior or conduct you can't yet break, maybe there's certain thoughts and temptations. Whatever it is, the enemy's trying to shake you through it. Don't let him do it. Because God says that he will complete the work that he has started and begun in you. Amen? God will complete the work that he has started and begun in you. And sometimes, I'm going to just make this point, and we're going to keep moving. Sometimes when we try to do it in our own strength, that's sometimes when we get overwhelmed with the situation. Because it is too, there are certain things that is too much for us. Let's just be honest. That there are certain challenges that if God don't do it, it will not happen. That's just life. We're in this fallen world. We're in a fallen nation. We're Christians. We're not the minority because there's a lot of us out here. But the culture, the society, the world who don't believe, they want to mock you. They want to laugh at you. They want to ridicule you. They want to make fun of you because you are a believer. And that's coming to shake your faith. But hold on to your faith. Don't let this world, you know, just because they don't believe, you got to keep believing. Amen, somebody. And let's just go here because I'm going to read this. I'm going to read it. It might take the rest of my time. But Numbers chapter 13, verse number 27. And they told him, let's start at verse number 26. Numbers 13, 26. And we're going to read all the way. Well, we're going to read. I may pick through it. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, and to all of the congregation of the children of Israel. Those are the 12 spies that went out to spy out the land of Canaan. They sent out spies to see what was going on unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and they brought back the word unto them and unto all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. They had brought back some evidence. They showed them the fruit that was in the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land where you sent us. And surely, without a doubt, it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They had the fruit. They saw the milk and the honey. The land was rich with resources. But look at verse number 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities in the wall, the cities are walled in and are very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Those are the giants. And then they saw all these other, the Amalekites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites. They saw enemies also in the land. You got the giants, you have the enemies. but you got everything that God showed you. Verse number 30. And Caleb stilled or quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Don't even think about it. Let's just go and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Verse number 33, and there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which came against the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Exactly what I'm talking about tonight. There was no way for the chosen of God to beat the giants, to beat all those ites, to beat all of those enemies that was in the land of Canaan. And they missed the whole point. They did not have unshakable faith in God. They looked at their own selves. They looked at their own inadequacies. They looked at what they were capable of and not capable of. But Caleb said, we are well able. And the majority of them said, the 10 said, we are not able. But Caleb and Joshua had another spirit. They had a spirit that had unshakable faith in God. But the 10 kept looking in the natural. They were carnally minded. They were carnal in their thinking. And I'm going to close on that right there. If you're going to get to your promised land, you're going to need unshakable faith in God. If you're going to get to the victory, whatever you need God to do, you're going to need God's help to do it. If you're going to get what God has promised you, you're going to need God's help to get it done. I pray that this is a blessing to somebody tonight. Because sometimes we get overwhelmed, we get beside ourselves, we get frustrated and discouraged. Because yes, sometimes what God is showing us is hard, it's impossible. The probability is not there. But if God be for us, if God is on your side, if greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world, this is what we're working with. So let us put our faith back in God tonight, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Help us to develop this unshakable faith in you. God, sometimes we feel so inadequate. We feel so inferior. We feel so weak. But Lord, that's the devil messing with our minds. That's the devil putting thoughts up there that should not be there. So God, help us to move forward by faith. Oh, glory. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. So we give ourselves to you tonight to help us in this walk. Because you said the just shall live by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. We love you. Hopefully, we'll see you on Sunday. We're having Holy Communion. It's the first Sunday of the month in May, and we're going to break bread in our service. There's a preach word, a powerful word of God. Pastor Rebecca and I are traveling to Rocky Mount this weekend, but we will be back for Sunday service. If you're feeling led to sow a seed into the ministry, please go to our website. Please sow a seed to the Cash App. To God be the glory. And we pray in the name of Jesus. As you pray for us, we will continue to pray for you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Good night, everyone. Love you. God bless. Good night.